Hey, everybody. I know we're running just a few minutes behind, and yet there's so much of value and importance to share that we're going to go ahead and I'll just open in prayer. We'll have we'll thank Jan and Tom whenever we're done with this. We've got a little something we'll give to them. But anyhow, let me open us in prayer, please. Father, we know that everyone here is here as an act of obedience and a willingness to say, I want to move forward in healing. And just like Brené Brown reminded us a few weeks ago, for forgiveness to be effective, for healing to happen, we have to let something die and allow you to remake our relationships, to remake our hearts. Father, all of this comes at a great cost to our emotional self, in confronting these things that have been roadblocks in the way that we've tried to divert ourselves from because of the pain that it can cause. But I thank you for the courage and the willingness of each one here to come and to enter into this, to begin unwrapping their story and seeking and trusting you for the healing that only the Holy Spirit can bring. We just pray for Jan and Tom that you would bless them, that you would fill them with peace and comfort and encouragement day by day, that you would keep the enemy far from them and from each member of this class, that you'd put a hedge of protection around each of my sisters, my brothers that are here, that they might not become discouraged, not give up, but hang tight to the hope that we have in Jesus. Please bless Jan and Tom as they share today and prepare our hearts now to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, I think I am. I was asking one table what we're going to be doing this time next week instead of being here. So, Sally, what do you think you'll be doing this time next week? Taking a nap or what?
Oh, goodness. Oh, well, I hadn't had a chance to chat with my group. But I thought we would continue meeting at my house.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
That is a great idea. That is a great idea. So this group's going to be eating lunch. They said lunch. And how many bottles will be available?
That is the reward for your perseverance right there. There
you go. Yeah. And this table, what will y'all be doing? Have you thought about it?
Yeah, blank table. We're three different
tables. That's right. There's two tables together here. Yeah.
We're just celebrating today. We're glad to know you this far.
Okay.
Downsizing.
Well, I will be doing whatever Jan tells me that I need to be doing because I'm extremely obedient. Yeah, you bet, guys. I've got something I'm going to read today to you from a guy by the name of Jonathan Kahn. I don't know if you all know about him, but he is a Messianic Jew and a writer and has some great stuff. In fact, this article that I'm going to be quoting and reading from is from his Book of Mysteries. And what he does, he just takes a scripture and then he brings in a lot of Jewish beliefs and thoughts, and he really digs into it deep. And there was a scripture that really puzzled me, and it's found in Jeremiah 29:11, and Jeremiah wrote that to the Jews. It said when judgment came on Israel in 586 BC, it seemed as if the plans of God for the Jewish people were finished. The promised land was in ruins, and God's people in exile. It was then that God gave this word to his fallen and broken people. And as I read this, Jen and I were reading this as a daily devotional one time, and I'm going to say that I was fallen and broken, okay? That's Jan has her story, I have mine. But it really hit me that he wrote it to the Jewish people because they were fallen and broken. And it says, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans of shalom and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And guys, that's what Jan and I wanted to do here, certainly to glorify God, but to give you all hope for a future, no matter what your grieving issue is, okay? And they're all different, and that's okay. But God's word applies to everything. And so Jonathan goes on and said, you wouldn't see in the translation that I just read, but in the original language is a Hebrew word that appears in one form or another no less than three times in that promise. The word is makash abal. It's not a word that you hear every day, makash abal. It is translated as plan, but it means much more than plan. Makash abal speaks of the careful, skillful, intricate weaving of a fabric. This could be translated as, I know the meticulously woven purposes that I am skillfully, carefully, and intricately weaving together for your future. As I was reading this, this was really the first time it just, wow, you know. I was thinking of someone, a weaver working with a loom, and I love to watch how they can run the threads or the string through and bring it all together and work with it intricately. To make something beautiful. And that's what we hope this class will do here for you all and has done for you, is to help you become more comfortable with the issue or issues that you may have. But God knows the plan. You see, God is the master weaver not only of the cosmos, but for the lives of his children. And the plans he has for your life are not only good and beautiful, but intricately woven plans already worked out. And that, when I read that, I thought, wow, God knows my path. But his plans are already worked out. And he will take every thread of your life, every joy, every mistake, every failing, every victory, every defeat, every gain, every loss, every regret, every wound, every question, every thread, and will knit them all together carefully, skillfully, and meticulously to become a perfect tapestry of woven love. Now, what I liked about Jonathan's writing at the end of every devotion, of everything that he talks about, he has a mission. And for this particular reading, the mission is, consider how God has woven the threads of your life together for good. When Jan and I were going through turmoil in our marriage and it looked like nothing but bad was going to come out of it, there was a hope, there was a thread of hopefully some good would come out of it. Take confidence that with the present threads, all the things of your life, all the sorrow, all the pain, all the agony, all the frustration, all those emotions that we talked about, that those threads will bring you closer to God and let you realize that God's plan is in control. He's in control of the whole issue. And so again, I just want to ask you today that you consider, what are your threads that are being woven in that tapestry of life? That tapestry of pain, that tapestry of frustration. Everything God has planned, and it was planned out before time. I hope that gives you comfort like it gives me comfort. Again, let me pray for us before Jan comes up. God, I thank you for the threads in our life that are woven by your hands. And we are mortals. We don't understand why sometimes. But you do. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and wanting the very best for us. I thank you for each one of these ladies that are here. You know their story better than anybody. And you love them and you care for them. And you want the best. Lord God, our faith, our hope, our trust is in you. You are the great physician and you heal. Sometimes that healing process is quick. Sometimes it's a lengthy process. Lord God, I pray for joy and contentment, even though there may be hurt and pain. You can bring the joy. And I thank you for that. Again, be with us. Thank you for this group of gals and guys that I've met for the past few weeks. Lift them up and I just pray that they will feel and know that they are valuable to you. Their hurt and their pain is real. We validate that. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for giving us Jesus Christ. Thank you for his grace and his mercy now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We're not recording this, Barbie. We're not recording this session today, are we? Right? Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Because I want some people to share, and I don't want that to go on the tape. Well, we weren't really planning on doing the session other than I just kept feeling like we needed to. And so Barbie was gracious to let us do that. So we are voluntarily coming today. And some of you, I hope, have written your goodbye letter. And what we're going to do is spend some time at your table, letting you share that with each other. We're going to practice listening. We're going to practice not engaging in asking questions or trying to fix something that somebody shares. We're just going to listen. So that might be hard for some of us to do. But I think it's a good practice for you to be able to out loud read your letter and let somebody listen to it. And there's value in that. There's value in bringing it to the light. So we're going to do that at the last hour or so. We're going to have time for that. But what I thought we would do this morning or this afternoon is get your books and let's open up and let's just do a little bit of a review. If you brought your book with you, if you didn't, that's okay. I just would like to hear some things from you all in Unit 1. Let's just start with Unit 1. look at Unit 1 and see, and I'm going to let you use the microphone so we can, you know, we've got these three tables right here. We're pretty close together, but I'd like for you to, if you've got a comment to make or something that you'd like to talk to the group about, I'd like for you to use the microphone. Let's just look at Unit 1 and let's see if there was anything in Unit 1 that you walked away with from this class that was something that you learned that was new for you to learn and something that you learned that you want to share with someone else that you feel like this would be a valuable something, a tool or a someone, you know, like one of the grief definitions. Anyway, so I'm opening it up, and we've got Miss Wendy going to start off and tell us something.
Well, I think the thing that I'll take, one of the things I'll take from this session was that grief is about a broken heart and not a broken mind. And that helps me to think about just keep your mouth shut, that it's the connection that heals, not the words that you say. That's a good takeaway for me.
Hey, man. You read it right there, but that is so good because that is what it's about, a broken heart. And that's why we can't fix it with our words and we can't fix it with telling people what to go and do. Anybody else in Unit 1 see anything that you learned or that you saw that you would like to share with us? Okay.
Well, I found it very amazing that to find out the definition of grief is from any kind of loss, any kind of loss at all, not necessarily the death of somebody, but the loss of something very dear to you, you know, your dreams. I mean, this was, and then it, I realized this, and I started laughing because I'm going, why is that pain there? Well, duh, that was the whole problem.
I just didn't know it was grief. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I can sit across the table with somebody and they'll be telling me their story and I'll just go, that's grief. And they'll go, really? I go, yeah, you're grieving. Anyway, what were you going to say,
girl? That you picked up. Go for it.
Grief cannot be done alone.
Oh, well, I thought she was going to tell us all about it. Grief cannot be done alone. That's a good one. That's really good. And, see, I knew Sally wasn't done.
I'm trying to listen, but also fine. Grief shared is grief diminished.
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, that's the same as grief can't be done alone. Yeah. Yeah. Who else? Bob, did you have something?
Yeah. One of the scriptures in lesson one was Psalm 62, where David is crying out to the Lord, and he says, pour out your hearts to him, for God is a refuge. And I think a lot of times, instead of, you know, we don't tell people often about our grief, but we certainly should tell God about our grief. Mm-hmm. It's not always the most spiritual thing, but God wants to know our hearts.
He does.
And when you unload on God, he can handle anything. So.
He can. Unfortunately, I think for a long time we didn't think that he could, but he certainly can. All right, anybody else in Unit 1? If not, we'll go to Unit 2. Anybody just have an aha, or I'm going to remember this. This is something that I'm going to, or that spoke to me. Okay, anybody on Unit 2? Let's just go to Unit 2 and see. What did you get, Barbie? What have you got? Something on Unit 2?
I didn't say it loud enough, probably, but okay. Jan, it was one of your quotes. Here you go. And that is the true connection of souls. We connect with others through our brokenness, and I think that's powerful.
Yeah, we do. That's how we connect with each other, is through our brokenness. You know, I can talk to you all day long about what I know, and I might impress you a little bit that I know some bunch of stuff, but I'm not connecting with you. I'm connecting with you through my brokenness. Yeah, that's a good quote. And anybody else have something in Unit 2 that just... Okay.
No, that whole page 3, you guys, if you've got your books on those crazy feelings, that was so freeing and validating to go, no, these are sane responses to grief, and then to literally have them listed there and to go, that's okay. This is a normal response. The validation of that was really good.
Okay. But how many times do people say, oh, I just feel like I'm going crazy? Like, I'm feeling like I go to Walmart and I don't know why I'm there and I don't know where I parked my car. I feel crazy. But that's grief. I mean, that's what it is. It's grief, and it is validating. Okay, Diane?
On page 3 where she was, but at the bottom it says, grief can take longer, and it tends to intensify at special dates or anniversaries. And so yeah. I knew that this particular time that I'm thinking of was coming, and then I kind of didn't think about it, and then all of a sudden it was here, and I thought, initially, I used to think you shouldn't be still feeling that way. Mm-hmm. You should get over it. Mm-hmm. And so
that's good, girl. You're okay, though. You can. Yeah. You can feel this way. And it's okay. It's natural and normal, right? Natural and normal. Anybody else in Unit 2? Let's go to Unit 3 then. We'll just sail right along. Tom, did you learn anything in Unit 3? Just teasing. He just said, no, they're sucking on his candy. I was just going to ask if he learned anything. Did you learn anything in Unit 3? Oh, okay.
And things are coming up, an anniversary date of something that happened. Many people will have set boundaries, have even been able to text or notify friends, hey, do not call me or my wife on this particular day because we don't want to hear anything from you. And it's not that we don't love you, but, you know, we just want to be by ourselves. We want to reminisce, or we want to ponder what we've been through. And please, we love you, but don't call or don't text or don't try to get a hold of us. So,
but that's okay to do that, right? Interesting. Sally?
What do you want to show me or teach me is a better question than why did this happen?
Mm-hmm. Instead of asking why, ask what do you want to teach me? That's good. I mean, you can ask why for a while, but asking why, and if I could tell you the answer, would not take your pain away. And that's what I think people have thought, is if I could just know why, I'd be okay.
Well, and two, we don't know God's mind. And a why could be something we don't have any capacity to understand.
Right, exactly. And may not ever. May not ever. Did you have something else to say?
Well, it's just putting a name on something that major variations have lost the interest. Psychic? Mm-hmm. Is that lost? I didn't know that was the name for my loss. So
okay.
Just interesting, but that is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
That you said giving up a dream or a change, you know, drastic change in plans.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that whole list of the various losses is very, very valuable because then you can pinpoint what that loss really is. So if it's an ambiguous loss, you can say, I'm not just grieving a loss, but I'm grieving an ambiguous loss because my mom is in the nursing home and she has dementia. And she is physically there, but she is
psychologically gone, okay? So when I'm talking to someone, I'm saying I'm experiencing ambiguous grief, and I explain to them what that is, then all of a sudden, it might trigger somebody else to say, oh, that's what I've been experiencing with my mom, or with my dad, or with my parents, or whatever. So, you know, those are really valuable losses, and I think that they're, it's good for you to understand what those losses are and kind of put a little word to the loss. Okay, anybody in?
In that section, we talked about the mile.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to kind of branch back into denial if I'm not careful. And so I need to keep reminding myself that I need to associate with people who care for me, who understand me. And certainly someone said a while ago about grief shared is grief diminished. And it's good for us to be able to do that and not deny the fact that we are suffering in some way. So just remember that the different, you know, that acrostic of denial and what it stands for.
And the defense mechanisms are really good to hang on to, because I can get stuck, but I can also, when I'm stuck, I can step back and say, okay, what defense mechanism am I using right now to keep me stuck? What am I doing? Am I rationalizing this? Am I comparing it to someone else's grief? Because that's how you stay stuck, is if you keep hanging on to those defense mechanisms and you just keep ignoring them when they're there, okay? So, all right, Unit 4, is that what we're on now? Unit 4, anybody in Unit 4 have some thoughts? Look through it, see if there's anything that stands out to you, something that you learned that you didn't maybe know, or something that you want to share with somebody else down the road in Unit 4. Somebody, anybody? Uh-huh. Oh, Wendy.
Belief number 3, the longer I stay in the pit of grief, the more I prove my love for so-and-so. I feel I have somebody in my family that's kind of, that's always in distress, and we're grieving lost dreams for that person, but it was almost like if I couldn't be happy until she was happy. And if I was happy and she wasn't happy, that there was a finite amount of happiness to go around and I was taking hers. I mean, it's completely unrealistic, but that's what I was stuck in.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah. Those assumptions and those beliefs can keep us stuck. They just can, you know? And if I think the biggest one when you lose a loved one, it's if I move on with my life, if I start living forward, then that's going to show that person that I don't love them, you know, and that's just, yeah.
Show other people.
Yeah, definitely.
What'd you see, Sally, in that one, in Unit 4?
Okay. One is, God has redeemed my story for his glory. That's good.
That's really good.
And there's another one.
Okay.
But this might be what you were saying. Denial is rooted in fear, and confession is rooted in hope. You are not letting go of the loss. You are letting go of the resentment, regret, and guilt.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's very good.
Do you know that?
Go ahead.
Do what? Do you know that everything I said are additional things? I think you like to add them to your tightening. You think so? Okay.
Well, I'm sorry.
They're just so.
Yeah, she's moving along, and she's written down stuff that she wants. Okay, Bob.
The title of the chapter is "Enlarging Your Soul." Paul talks about how the sufferings of Christ abounded in him, but then he tells about how God uses sufferings. As the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, and so also is the comfort. He comforts us so that in our affliction we'll be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So the pain is never without purpose. You know, he comforts us, so we learn to comfort others.
Absolutely.
And if you see, as Tom was talking about God's plan, mm-hmm. you know, we think everything's a mess. God has a plan. He's working it out, even through our loss or pain or whatever.
Yeah. And I think along that line, what happens, though, in getting that comfort from God is I want to rush through it, and I want it right now. So what I've seen happen is people want to go and comfort. They take that verse and they go, oh, I'm supposed to be comforting someone else, and they haven't gotten to a place of healing. And yet they're still thinking they have to go and comfort someone else. And if nothing else in this class, it's a process, and it's something that you've got to continue to work through and do, because God's comfort is there, but oftentimes we don't feel it. We reject it. We don't stay in his comfort. We want to seek it out in all different other ways. But I've had too many people in my grief share group that have gone through grief share because they've had a loss, and the next semester they want to lead. They want to be a part of the leadership team. And I let one girl do that one time because I thought she was ready. She wasn't any more ready than a man in the moon, because she was still in her pain and she still hadn't received the complete comfort and healing that God wanted to give to her for her to be able to pour that comfort out to someone else. Does that make sense? I'm not negating at all what Bob said, because it's so true. But I think we have to be very, very careful that we don't rush into comforting other people when we ourselves are still in that painful place, and we need some time for God's comfort to do his work in us. So, anyway.
I've wondered this question. Can you give the right time to ask, what is the difference between the grief share groups, this group, and Celebrate Recovery?
Well, they probably all three are somewhat the same. I think I think that the grief group is the emergency room, okay? I mean, that's where you go for emergency. You are in pain and you've just lost someone, and that's your emergency room. I believe this one is more of the hospital, and we're going to be in here and we're going to do some work. We're going to, you know, amputate our legs, or we're going to, you know, take our heart out and have a transplant, or I don't know what we're going to do in the hospital. I don't know what God's going to do. I think Celebrate Recovery is the long-term care. Long-term care. What do you, I mean, did I don't know. I mean, I just kind of came up with that.
Look, it's so applicable.
It is. It's, yeah, they go hand in hand. In fact, we've talked at Bentonville Church that after people did grief share, that we would offer interrupted expectations for them to go through. Because sometimes people will go through grief share and they go, now what do I do? Now where do I go? And we've tried sometimes to stick them into Celebrate Recovery, but it hadn't been a good fit for some reason. But I just think there's that element of, this class is more the hospital. Let's do a heart transplant. Let's take that amputated leg and let's let God do some healing with that. And diagnose. That's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah. Diagnose what it is. Yeah.
On the page it says to let go takes love. And one that just stood out to me is to let go is not to be in the middle of arranging all the outcomes.
Mm,
that's
mm-hmm.
really hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
NATO, not attached to the outcome.
There you go.
NATO. But, yeah.
And what Celebrate Recovery was for me was a lot like this group here, okay? With a step study, and it's about accountability, and we would share our grief with people, and we would talk about where we were. And look, in Celebrate Recovery, you never recover. That's taught. You are in recovery.
On the road.
You're on the road to recovery. You're not there. You never will be. The issues that I have are still there, but I am on the road to recovery.
Yeah,
okay?
That's good, Tom. That's really good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Does that help, Sally?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good question. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else in unit five? Four. Where are we? Four?
Four.
Any four? Bob, you have something? Oh, you're talking about five. Okay. Are we on five or four?
I thought we were on four.
Okay, you have something in five. Did you have something to say, share in five?
Oh, yeah, I love the jail illustration.
Okay.
The two things, guilt and fear, and I mentioned to you that song by the Gaither vocal band, I'm Free, I'm Free from the guilt of the past, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And those are the two issues that we have to deal with to really be healed.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah. You know, after we confess our sins, he forgives us. We got to forgive ourselves. Yeah. Yeah. But then we have to put the future in God's hands, realizing that he has a plan instead of being afraid it will mess up again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's excellent. Very good. The jail illustration is so easy to sit across the table with somebody and draw it out on the napkin and just say, where are you? You know, what bar are you hanging on to? The one in the past, the one in the future? What do you need to let go of, you know, so that you can be free? You can walk out of that jail. I've done it. I did it on a mission trip. Just when we went in March, there was one gal and I was listening to her story, and what I saw in her story was just a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety about her future. And I just said, let me just show you this illustration and just let you think through, what are the things that you need to let go of? What are you holding on to? You know, and whether she did anything with it, I don't know, but I felt God give me that illustration to show her. So anybody else in that one, unit five? Anything on Unit 5? Yeah, Sally.
This just shows how valuable this is. It's not that I forget. It's not that I will reconcile. It's not something I'm excited about. It's not excusing the wrong.
Short version of forgiveness, yeah.
Yeah, and you have to bury the idea so that forgiveness can happen.
Yeah. Something's got to die before it can be resurrected. Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, when I ran across that thing that Brené Brown did on forgiveness, I was blown away because it just put the puzzle pieces together for me to realize that I can forgive with my mouth, but I have an emotional forgiveness that's got to be dealt with, and it's a grieving process. It's me letting go of those things that I'm holding on to emotionally. Tin Boone.
Mm-hmm.
Officer or something. Yeah.
Been instrumental in her,
yes,
in her injuries, in her plight, and she chooses right then,
yes,
to forgive him. It's like such a,
yeah,
solid, I'm going to make this decision,
mm-hmm,
moment.
Mm-hmm.
But that's ahead,
mm-hmm,
of it,
mm-hmm,
not the heart.
That's right.
And there is still a heart,
mm-hmm,
to address.
Yeah. I could say probably 9 times out of 10, when we make the choice to forgive, the next day we've got a feeling that doesn't feel like forgiveness. It feels like anger. It feels like resentment. It feels like, you know, yeah. But I don't know. I loved that part about forgiveness, that part of forgiveness is grieving. So, and she calls the video that she does is called The Ultimate Act of Love. And I love the title. Because that's what God's done for us. It was the ultimate act of love for him to die and to forgive us. And so, yeah.
And it's not taking away from what she did. She could do that because of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Power,
yeah, absolutely.
But it might not be a complete
process. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anybody else have a thing in the Unit 5 that we talked about that you really liked, you want to share with somebody, you thought it was meaningful for you?
I love, this is page 3, Unit 5, the difference between I feel responsible for others as opposed to when I feel responsible to others. That was excellent, just so good, the law of responsibility.
Yep.
To others, not for others.
You talk about freedom. that would set you free if you lived on the other side, on the right side of the road. Yeah, well, you can.
Well, I underline this. I can trust and let go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because how can you get through it without leaning on Jesus and letting go and letting him take care of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. That is so good. All right, anybody else? If not, let's go to six. Unit six. Anything in unit six that you... now, you have to remember that we have the lost story in one of the units. We have the relationship lost story in one of the units, and then we have the goodbye letter in one of the units, which is unit actually six, and that's why we tacked on a session to go, because normally I'll do this in the fall, or we'll do it in the fall, and we'll have like 13 weeks to do it, so we've got a lot of time to break it down and not just take the fire hose and stick it in your mouth like I feel like we've had to do. But anything with the lost story, anything with the relationship lost story that was like an aha or was something that was valuable to you in doing, using those tools? Anybody? No. Go.
The lost storyline clarified really my whole life. I mean, I don't mean to sound frivolous, because it really did, because what happened to me in my childhood, I just dismissed and never considered it. I mean, it was like I'm holding a grudge because this or that, and it wasn't that important. It wasn't that important. But then when I see the cumulative that I had to, and then I go, oh, no wonder then that I, and I never put it in the right perspective. And
That's ever really good.
Yes. I mean, and I.
So that lost story helped you put it in perspective.
Yes, and it told me that the things that I can recall were very, very important. Mm-hmm. And they were given no importance by me or from anybody else. And I was so young that what could have happened then didn't happen. So the result is that happened.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's
very
good.
That's said very well. That is very well said. I love that. Wow. Bob?
I appreciate the fact, you know, we should be moving towards wholeness and not stuck with the losses.
Yeah.
And not let the losses identify us the rest of our lives.
Yes.
That what we should say is, here's what God is doing today in my life. I'm not stuck with yesterday.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
We're moving on with the Lord.
Probably one of my very favorite things to say to myself over and over again is that loss does not define me. And I have to say that to myself all of the time, because I very easily take that loss and make it my identity. And that's where you can get stuck if you do that, you know. So that's excellent, Bob. Thanks. Anybody else in the last unit six that you can think of anything? Yeah, Winnie?
Is not safe, helpful, or respectful. And that, I thought, respectful.
Poor thing.
That's a big thing.
Hey, say that again in the microphone. Y'all hear that?
A fixer is not safe, helpful, or respectful.
Ouch.
Ouch.
We got burned.
On page 5, it says, the most effective way of dealing with grief is to go through it rather than avoiding it or denying it.
Good. Go through it. So oftentimes we want to go over it or around it, but we don't want to go through it. And that's why I think I am so passionate about this class, because this gives you an opportunity to go through it if you want to. And it's never, I always say, God loved me enough to give me a free will to choose. I'm going to love you enough to give you a free will to choose. So there's no expectations whether you do it or you don't do it. But I do know if you do it, the end results will be freedom. I do know that because I have seen it happen time and time and time again. So, yeah, you got to go through it.
I was a nurse, and I went through with a lot of people grief, families, made friends with great families, and was able, you know, was very good at being with families, but never really had a lot of grief in my family, in my life. Mm-hmm. So I think when you do start to grieve over something or someone or a death, whatever it is, you become more, you can give more empathy mm-hmm. to people mm-hmm. because yeah. you actually do feel it.
Absolutely.
And do know it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you do.
I think, though, oftentimes I will say, it's kind of like a doctor. I mean, you know, a doctor can diagnose you and tell you what's wrong with you, but when they get sick, they might not know what in the heck's going on with themselves. It's like, you know, Tom in the funeral business, he could work with grieving people all of the time and have a ministry that was so powerful, but he could walk, no offense, Bubba, he could walk in the door and his family was grieving and he didn't even recognize that. You know what I'm saying? So I think what can happen in a nursing or a caring place, a caring role, you can care well for other people, but you sometimes can't care for those that are closest to you, nor can you care for yourself. And that's the damaging part, you know?
Did it become important? She said, I never knew how bad it was.
That's a great one. You boys liked that one, didn't you? They didn't relate, but that's okay. West ladies did. Go ahead.
Well, being in the ministry, you know, we dealt with families who lost loved ones and so many things. And, you know, we would try to comfort them, say we pray for them, we're here for you if anything you need anything. But it wasn't until we went through it that we could actually say, we understand how you feel. Mm-hmm. You go ahead and cry. You share your, mm-hmm. you know, and until you actually go through it, do you really understand and can you empathize? You can empathize with that person. Right.
You have a lot of sympathy, but not empathy. And that's the difference, you know. Anybody else? Okay. Nobody else has any aha, oh, this is good. Hey, okay, I'm going to ask for a few suggestions, and then I'm going to see if you guys want to come up and share just a little bit about your book and let everybody kind of know just a tiny bit of your story. And then we're going to spend the last 45 minutes around our table reading our goodbye letter. So that's going to be, and then that'll be the end of the class. We'll stop everybody at 4 o'clock and say it's time for us to pray out and go home and see what God's got for us for the next 2 or 3 weeks ahead. What I wanted to ask is, and Tom and I are going to try to tweak some of this material, like what Sally was saying, some of the things that maybe we need to redo and to put in the material instead of just saying it, you know, because some people don't write it down. But I think what I'd like to hear from you all is, what are some things that you feel like in this class were valuable in the way that they were done? And what would you see would be more valuable? I'll give you an example. We did it in the spring, and one of the gals said, we just wish we had a lot more small group time, more time to just us share with each other. And we didn't do as much small group time, but it makes me know that that's valuable to some people. You know, not everybody said that, but just think for a second and just think, is there anything that you constructively or, what is it, not critically, but yeah, you know, constructively criticize us, I think it's important for us to get feedback from our classes so that we can do it better next time and we can continue to do what we're doing knowing that it was helpful, okay? Because we just don't want to sit up here and do a bunch of stuff that we don't think is.
This material was basically written for a women's group. Well, we are trying to incorporate men and women now.
And so a lot of what is said will say it's in the feminine form of, you know, what would she do or what would she say or how would she react, instead of making it how should a person respond, how would they respond.
Yeah. And y'all probably can, some of you English teachers in here probably could pick up on some of the probably grammar and stuff that's wrong, but.
Something there about how men grieve differently than women. Because men don't usually talk things out.
Yeah.
Don't share with other guys I'm hurting.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm afraid to, but it'd be interesting there.
Yeah.
A page in there somewhere about how to understand your husband.
Yeah. That's excellent. What'd you say?
It is in here for men.
It
how
is.
Do men grieve differently from women? What are men's biggest losses?
Oh, it's that was one of the questions that we questions she said we worked on. But the answer wasn't given. It was something for you to think through. The answer wasn't given. Like, what are the top four things that women grieve, and what are the top four things that men would naturally grieve? I think that's what you're talking about, Paul. Yeah, but it wasn't. Yeah, and I think we could do that a little bit better. This is our first time to do a group with men and women together, so it's been me doing it with women most of the time. But I think our desire and our hope is that we could do it more. Yeah, I am. I'm saying they are the guinea pig. Okay, Sally's got something else. She's going to criticize us about or tell us what. She's going to be constructively telling us something good. What? Now she forgot.
So, I think all of the material was really helpful, all of it. I don't know what really you could add to it, other than the points that you were saying verbally.
Mm-hmm.
But when people were asked questions, I never could hear their answers. And a lot of times, even when you gave them the mic, I still couldn't hear. So I would say, at the beginning, you could, like, instruct everybody about how to use the
mic.
Mic, because I'm, see, now I can hear it. But see, before, when other people, and I wanted to hear what they were saying.
Yes, and I've had that comment a lot.
And I would, and then I just gave up.
Ask you this, would the conversation be better around the table instead of as the whole group?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, you say no, you say yes. I do too. I do too, but I'm just saying, and it's
sometimes the questions were asked when I was listening to the video, to the audio, the question was asked but not repeated. So
right.
Even if I could hear your answer, I couldn't hear what the question had started out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and that's hard. Yeah, that recording is really, really hard, I know, but yeah. Well, that's true. That's true, I guess. I guess we could have a little question box up here, and y'all could pop your questions in there, and then we could read them, and then maybe at the end of each class or something, maybe like
for
that.
Right, the next session.
Yeah, for the next session.
Ask the question.
Well, okay, all right, good stop. Okay, yes.
Thinking about, because the questions were how do men grieve differently, what about children? Because I think that I have really just zipped over that with my own grandchild and what she had been through. And I'm not sure what is normal or not normal or what to tell her, because she may think she's being abnormal and then this whole head trip.
Yeah. That's a good thought, that maybe we could put some material in there to not only say how men grieve, but how do children grieve, and what do you do with your children that are hurting? How do you handle that? That's great point. Okay, all right, no more questions. It's 3:05. Can you guys come up for just a few minutes and share a little bit, and then about 3:15 we'd like to get into our small group time.
for about 45 minutes. And we're going to, can you want to hold this?
We'll try to remember the three B's. Brother, be brief. Yeah. I never liked the word brokenness. It doesn't go well with my old nature. And yet, the last 2 years, I've really been studying the whole issue of brokenness and has become a subject very special to my heart. And I think you realize why we deny it. We're all broken. Ever since Genesis 3, we are broken by sin and we're broken by suffering. So we're all broken people. And we have to learn, however, wholeness that comes in Christ. You know, we can't allow brokenness to take our joy away. You know, God has a purpose in brokenness. And then we came across this verse in Psalms. I'm sure you must know this one. Psalm 34, 18. God is near to the who? The brokenhearted. Wow, that is so cool. God heals brokenness. God uses broken people like us, and Jesus was broken. That alone helps me to deal with brokenness, that my Lord Jesus Christ was broken. So I can't deny that. I was born into a Roman Catholic home in 1945. I was 5 years old. My mom died, and my father left me and went back to Portugal. I went to live with my grandparents. My grandfather died an alcoholic 3 years later, and then my grandmother died 4 years later. And fortunately, I had two cousins who took me in. By the time I'm 15 years old, I'm a mess. I'm insecure. I had no sense of purpose in life. I felt like a ship lost at sea, didn't know where it was going. But I was invited to a Christian camp up in Scroon Lake, New York, Word of Life, where I heard the gospel clearly for the first time. Jack Wortson preached on the love of God. And he said, God loved me. And I said, that's true. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard. And at that point, the healing began. I've had for the first time in my life a sense of security and purpose that I never had before. And of course, I prayed for a family. And praise God, in 1967, God led Karen into my life. And we were married in 1967. And she has her own story of brokenness.
Well, we were supposed to write a goodbye letter. So it's easier for me today. I don't have to remember everything I'm going to say. I'm going to just read my letter. Dear God, I thank you for your word. Your love letter to me. Oh, what a source of comfort and peace and healing in my brokenness. And I thank you too, Jan and Tom, for the privilege of being a part of this class. I thank you. I'm a Sunday school teacher, so I use object lessons. This tool, it has been such a special blessing and a help to us. And there were things in here that we didn't realize what we were grieving for. Not only the loss of our son, but so that was truly a blessing. And I realized I needed to say goodbye to my hurts, feelings, bitterness, and brokenness, and many other things in my life. So I thank you for the privilege of letting us share a little bit of our book, because that was also a healing for us to be able to write out our story, our journey from brokenness to blessing, to minister to others who are still grieving and hurting, to share how we dealt with our deep hurts, loneliness, bitterness, heartache, and to focus on you, Lord Jesus, and the many, many blessings you had in store for us over the years. How Jesus endured the cross for us. He suffered and died too, but he rose again and is in heaven interceding for us. It was Jesus who carried us through, and we learned to depend on him and his grace. God, you gave your only son,
And we had only one son, too. But you, in your sovereignty, had a special, special plan for our lives. I was raised in a Christian home, but after I was struck by a large city bus at the age of 6, I was badly broken. With all my injuries, I was not expected to live. But at age 7, I found myself in Daily Vacation Bible School at Cicero Bible Church. And we were studying Psalm 23 about the Good Shepherd. The teacher told us a story about a little boy who was hit by a car and died. And I realized just then, boy, I could have died too. I wanted to be able to say, the Lord is my personal shepherd. And it was that day that I gave my heart to Jesus. Then I had the assurance of heaven and Jesus and no more fear of dying. I found new life in Jesus. Moving forward, 3 years after we were married, God gave us a precious baby boy, Robert Andrew Freitas, named after his daddy, of course, and Andrew in the Bible, who was a soul winner. Turn over here. He was born blue with a serious congenital heart defect. Doctors couldn't give us any guarantee of his life expectancy. He could live 3 years or 3 months. When he was a day old, he underwent temporary surgery, procedure to give him more oxygen and extend his life until he could grow and be able to withstand major open heart surgery to correct the blood flow inside of his heart to the lungs for more oxygen. He did well, and his color was a normal pink again instead of blue. He still struggled with normal motor skills, yet he had good oxygen level to his brain. When he was 4 years old, during our evening Bible devotions, he asked his dad to read his favorite story of Jesus dying on the cross. It was that night, with tears in his little eyes, he asked Jesus in his heart. From then on, he had a hunger for God's word, and he started memorizing scripture. And he couldn't wait to call Grandma and Grandpa and tell them the exciting news. Guess what, he said. Grandma and Grandpa, I asked Jesus in my heart. And he quoted Revelation 3:20, and I'm sure many of you know that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and enter, well, I will come into him. And you know the rest of it. And he loved to sing Bill and Gloria Gaither's song, I'm Something Special. I'm the only one of my kind. God gave me a body and a bright, healthy mind. He had some good years, but at age 9, he experienced more issues and shortness of breath. So he had another open heart surgery, which it ended up in another crisis of internal bleeding. But again, he survived the night because we prayed earnestly with our parents that God would once again please spare his life. God gave us the promise in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. When we got to his room in the hospital the next morning, we rejoiced to see our son sitting up and talking to the nurses. And when he saw us, he just smiled from ear to ear. Then, when he was 18, he was in and out of the hospital because his heart was continuing to fail. The first week of March, 1989, I spent the night in the hospital with him. Rob was so agitated. He just could hardly breathe. And he just hugged me. I hugged him, held on to him as tight as I could. And he just says, Mom, I just want to go home to be with Jesus. And within minutes, he cardiac arrested and went into a coma. 4 days later, in intensive care, we saw our only son take his last breath. But, again, scripture came to my mind, absent from the body, present with the Lord. He's just in another place, and I'm going to see him again someday. So I couldn't bring myself to say goodbye. Instead, I said, good night, son. Mama's going to see you again in eternal life in heaven. So we could enjoy being together with Jesus in our heavenly home. Yes, we were heartbroken. But the healing process began when I was going through his things and I found Rob's poems and his writings. What a precious blessing to me. And then in writing our story, we just experienced a real healing because we dealt with so many of the things that we went through. But it was the memories and the fun things and the beautiful things that we were able to dwell on. And we realized that God allowed us to do this so that we could focus on the good things and all the blessings so we could minister to those who were still hurting. So yes, we lost our only son, but we introduced him to Jesus when he was 4 years old, and we look forward to today, and we'll be in heaven, and he'll introduce us to Jesus. And that's going to be so wonderful. Okay, so one more line. The Lord said, so dear Lord, today I say goodbye to all my pain and hurts and ask you to open doors for me to help others.
Let me briefly share how I dealt with the grief of losing our son, and certainly had my tears, and it was pretty deep for a couple of weeks. As I cried out to the Lord one day, I had an experience that I never had before or since. There was a sense of peace and love that just came over me, as if the Lord were saying to me, rejoice, Rob's in heaven. He's enjoying heaven. One of the last things when Karen found the poems is the last thing our son wrote in his poems was this. It's entitled, Your Face. Sometimes my life is full of despair. I long to be with you up there, Jesus, just to see your face. Then all my fears and problems would erase. When things get tough, I lose ambition. But after all, you're the only one from whom I desire recognition. Let me conclude with just this statement. You know, we all go through trials. We go through brokenness. But we have to remember that God is in control of all of that. Nothing is a surprise to him. He has a sovereign, just as Tom was saying earlier, God has a plan. God didn't make a mistake. God didn't mess up. He had a purpose in all those things that we go through. Yes, suffering here is temporary, but heaven is forever glorious. There is hope and healing and blessing for the broken. If you're interested, the books will be on the back table. If you have any other questions, thank you for letting us share.
Thank you. That is awesome. Okay, so now we're going to share at our tables. And what I'd like you to do is remember you're going to sit there and you're going to listen. And everybody has the option to share and everybody has the option to not share. That's up to you. But we're just going to spend the last, I think we've got about 40 minutes and just let everybody share. And then around a little before 4, I'll come up and just pray us out, okay? So just start at your table. Whoever wants to go first, whoever wants to go never, or whoever wants to go last can share. So you go for it. Okay, girls and guys, are y'all wrapping up? Everybody pretty much got to share what they needed to share?
pretty much. Did we all get to share? Everybody got to share? Everybody? We did at our table. Y'all got, girls, everybody got to share? Okay, well, I'm going to just pray for us, and then, you know what? This is our, remember what I told you what we're going to do today? What did I tell you we were going to call this? Our going away party, okay? So, y'all are going away, and guess what? As you leave, I'm going to give you a hug, okay? I already gave these three girls a hug, but I'm going to give everybody a hug. Not you, Tom. I'm not giving you a hug. No. You hug Bob, and he can hug you, and I'm just going to, because it's a going away party. And so the significance of that is probably 2 hours from now, you're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel shameful. You're going to say, okay, why did I do that? Why did I read that? Why did I say that? And guess what? Just say, I just was at a goodbye party. And I just was at a going away party. And it is going away. Now, all of that other stuff that's there is not going to go away quickly. But you can keep telling it it's gone away. It's kind of like forgiveness. You can say, I made a choice today to have a going away party and reading my goodbye letter, and it's gone. Okay? So when the emotions and all of that guilt and shame and denial and all of that comes back, you can just say, hey, just had a going away party. It's done. I made that choice. So anyway, let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for the going away party that we've gotten to experience with each other and with you. And Father, we thank you for the beauty of forgiveness. We thank you for the mercy and the grace that you pour upon us as we just are honest with you and honest with how we feel. And God, we know that you want to set us free. You want to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So may we walk out of here today saying goodbye to so many things that we've carried on our backpack that we just need to let go of, God. And we thank you for the healing power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you and we praise you and we just love this time that we've had together. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I do. Okay. This is awesome. Thank you, guys. Tom Stockdale. Hi, you. Tom Stockdale and Jan Stockdale, we cannot thank you enough for sharing with us. A little card that everybody wanted to write a note to on, a little gift in that card, and then this other little thing to say thank you for sharing these important and critical truths and tools that we will not forget. So can we just express through a clap? Stockdales, we love you. Thanks. I know this is costly to do. So.